want to talk to John Hansen about two things. One is about the I-bonds. The other is about Wimbledon and Russian athletes. Which should we do first?
Oh, boy. Do we want cool temperatures or do we want hot temperatures?
Let's do hot temperatures first.
Might as well keep that going, huh?
You hear John Hansen all the time on WGN Radio, 8 days a week, including Monday through Thursday from 6 to 7 o'clock, Your Money Matters. Before we get to the Your Money Matters stuff, though, you came on with me about a week ago because you and I discovered in the recording of the Mincing Rascals podcast that we're on different places or pages regarding should Russian athletes be allowed to compete in international events. And it was on the heels of the Boston Marathon, which said that Russians would not be allowed to run in the Boston Marathon. And I support that. You did not support that, right?
Right. That is correct. And I took such a beating from the callers that they were waiting to call me on Saturday during Let's Get Legal to let me know how wrong I was 3 days later.
I wasn't setting you up, John, at all.
That's okay.
And in fact, I thought I was in the minority because when we recorded our podcast, everybody on the panel felt that we should allow Russian athletes to compete in international sports. They're not Vladimir Putin. They're not firing the missiles. So let's let them be international symbols of hope and peace, maybe. I wasn't having that. I felt differently.
Well, I think it's important that we begin with the consensus of we're all outraged, including myself, about what Russia's doing. Putin is a war criminal or a narcissist or a mass murdering dictator, depending on where you are on the spectrum. And we all want this war to end, and we all want there to be some sort of punishment for Vladimir Putin. Here's one point I just wanted to make, as more people and more tennis stars have agreed with me now on the Wimbledon thing. I want to go back to the Boston Marathon thing. WBUR did a great story about Katia Zykova. She had booked two flights from Russia to the United States to get mRNA vaccines, which was originally going to be needed, and they don't have those in Russia. And then she was going to come and run. She's been looking forward to it forever. She's not able to do it. And one quote she said is, I think about this moment about Ukraine. I understand the war is so awful that I cannot support it. I want people to think about it from the side that we Russians don't want it either. And yes, WBUR interviewed her, but can you imagine if she had ran the Boston Marathon and said that at the end on national television, and that message had been spread to the masses through social media? I just think that has a way bigger impact than not letting them participate.
Than silencing them outright. Rafael Nadal, Novak Djokovic, Andy Murray, these are major tennis stars. These are athletes we do know about. And they have all said that banning the Russian tennis players, including the second in the world, is a bad idea. They want the Russians to play in Wimbledon.
Right. And you know, Vladimir Putin has reacted to this, too, on the Russian side, not only to Wimbledon, but different bans of things happening in Russia, which I agree with. I don't want them to get the economic benefit. We shouldn't be going to Russia to compete in these events. And he says, fine, we'll just do it ourselves. It's wrong. And it's a form of they just hate us because of our nationality, us in Belarus. And I just think that plays into the propaganda that Vladimir Putin and his machine play to their people,
yeah,
that it's
right.
Us versus them.
Well, Wimbledon is the opposite of that. Wimbledon said it did not want to benefit the propaganda machine of the Russian regime. They don't want to give these people the platform, even though I suspect most of the Russian athletes. In fact, was it this number two tennis player in the world who wrote on the camera when he was exiting a court a month ago?
Yeah.
No war. He wrote that on the lens as a message to the world, right?
All right. And it was a huge moment, and that spread like wildfire. And to get through to Russian people, you cannot trust their state media to broadcast that, but you better believe that they have access to social media and they see those things too. And while it is an us versus them situation, I imagine you want more Russian people to feel like the West is not punishing them individually as humans, but instead punishing their leader. And the more you can get that message through,
yeah,
I feel like we reach our common goal at the end quicker.
Yeah, but that's I think where I have a disconnect. I mean, I know this is Vladimir Putin. Literally, if if Vladimir Putin were not making these calls, would Russia be invading Ukraine? Would that war stop tomorrow? I don't know if it would stop tomorrow, but I'll bet it wouldn't have started at all. And I do think this is about a singular, you know, what are there, 7 billion people on Earth? And the Earth is in peril right now because of the actions of one human being. It's crazy to think about that still. Russia's a sovereign state. Whatever their phony elections are, the people bear some responsibility. And I'm not willing to just let the poor Russians off who don't agree with it. If you really don't agree with it, you know, march in the streets, put yourself in peril. That's what revolutions are about. I don't know what you all are going to do about it, but they bear some responsibility to me.
Well, they did that, and a lot of them were put into prison immediately, and we don't know where they are now. Not saying that you're not right and that a mass of people could not overtake it, but you just have to understand where they are and where they are in relation to what they're being fed through propaganda. But your point is right. But, John, the Chicago Marathon, which is not for a couple more months, has not decided on this yet. And I'm just fascinated to see how that will play out. Obviously, that's a long way away, and we have a whole summer to get through. But I just would be so proud of a Russian runner who they weren't able in some races to run under their flag, right? Like maybe they could run under a Ukraine flag. Maybe they don't run under any flag. But how great, with the Chicago skyline in the background, would it be for a Russian athlete to say, war is bad. We shouldn't be doing this. I mean, I think that those are powerful moments, that those are the legacy moments, right? The 1968 Olympics in Mexico City, you know, these protest moments that we see end up sticking out so much more and doing so much more good than it does to make us feel better that they're not going to be there.
Wonder if you would want them to then renounce the war before you let them participate.
Oh, boy, if Wishy made it so. But that's the slippery slope, too, right? And I know that reveals a big, you know, chasm of my argument, or right? Like, you shouldn't have a purity test.
Yeah.
Right. I don't know. That makes me feel icky, too.
This whole thing would backfire if you let them run in the Chicago Marathon and afterwards they say, go Putin. And I'm like, thanks a lot, John. Thanks a lot, Hanson. This is on you,
then
Megan.
You won't hear from me on the station for 3 weeks. I'll be gone on vacation for a bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I just wanted to revisit this conversation. I know we've had a version of it before, but it appears as though Rafi, Djokovic, and Murray, the biggest tennis stars in the world, some of the biggest athletes in the world, are with you on this. They want the Russians to participate. It's not their fault. I hear the argument. It's persuasive, but not persuasive enough for me. I'm still on the other side. You the other night were talking about this I-bond thing, right?
Mm-hmm. And I did it myself, John.
Yeah, well, you did put your money where your mouth is. That is, you have an intimate knowledge of how to buy these I-bonds and what that means for a person financially. And I want you to just, like, break down the math for me, because the interest rate, the return, it's a variable rate. But for 6 months, you're going to get 9.26, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's a variable rate. So the fixed rate is 0%, which is no good. But the variable rate is 9.26% for 6 months. And then in 6 months, they'll recalculate it based on the inflation. And we would hope that that would be lower, but I don't know how far lower. And then you'll get that for 6 months. So basically the way it works is you buy one of these.
Hold on. I'm going to pause. I want you, everybody, to get out your number two pencils, piece of paper, and write some of this down. Just kind of give me the tutorial on what you did and what you're going to get, okay?
So I went to treasurydirect.gov.
John, we play commercials on this radio station. Hold on.
Oh, sorry, sir.
You're familiar with that, right? Commercials.
Yes.
Talking to John Hanson. You hear him regularly on WGN, particularly Monday through Thursday night. Your Money Matters. They talk about money. We were also talking about, should you allow Russian athletes to compete in international sporting events? I say no. John says yes. And this texter says, I agree with you, John. Well, that doesn't really help us now, does it?
How do they spell it? Or
that's funny, because this has an H in it. So I think that's a vote for me, isn't it? All right, Mr. Your Money Matters. Did you take $10,000 and buy I-bonds?
Yeah, sure. I'll tell you the amount. I did the max. I did 10,000, which I, of course, am blessed to be able to have a little money to do something with. And it's 9.6%, John,
wow.
By the way, not 9.6%.
And I could do 1,000, right? I mean, there's you could do less.
You can do $25. You can do $25. I mean, you can do that's the minimum, $25.
Okay.
And from May to October, on an annualized rate, you'll earn 9.62%. So divide that by 12 and multiply it by 6 for the half the month. So you'd earn about 4%, 4.5%, 4.3% during those 6 months.
$430.
Yes, exactly. And then you will get a new rate in October. And you can't touch it for a year, 1 year. That money is with the government no matter what. After 1 year, from a period of 1 year and one day to 5 years, if you take it out, you will forfeit the last 3 months of interest. So if you had gained $200 in interest in the last 3 months, you pay that penalty of $200. Now, that obviously still means you're above water, right? It's just the last 3 months. So you would still have all the previous interest you own. But after 5 years, there's absolutely no penalty on that.
It's not de-escalating. So if you take money out on the 13th month or the 5th year, it's the same percent penalty, right?
It's the final 3 months of interest. So if you take it off at 13 months, you'll only have gained the first 10 months of interest, and you will forfeit months 10 through 13.
Yeah.
If you take it out at 4 years and 11 months, you'll have earned 4 years and 8 months of interest.
Right. I said percent, but I guess I meant that the penalty is calculated the same way. The number would be different, but it's calculated the same way. Okay, good enough. And one other thing, John. So say $10,000 in 6 months goes to $10,430, and it will. Mm-hmm. And then they'll recalculate the new rate for the next 6 months in October. Will that rate be applied to the 10,000 or to the 10,430?
To the 10,430. So as the rate changes, it just continues to just kind of update your principal, you could say, your main amount. So let's say it goes to 5%, you get another $250. So in 1 year, you'll have made $680 for doing nothing if you put $10,000 in.
But pardon me, but if the new rate is 5%, it would be 5% not calculated on the 10,000, but on the 10,000 plus the 430 you made in the first 6 months, right?
You're right. So I just shorted everyone $100.
I know,
so,
but I mean, there's no losing that 430, and that will be the new principle, if you will, upon which future rates will be calculated. And then every 6 months, it keeps going, and the rates probably aren't going to be 9.6% forever. But it's too bad you can't put $1 million or $100,000.
Well, right. I mean, exactly. And you can do it one. So if you're married, each of you can do it. If you have a business, you can get an I-bond in your business's name. So I do know of some families that they each have side businesses, and they've got $40,000 in. And I think it's important to talk about who should do this, right? Like, you shouldn't be eating into your emergency fund. If you want 6 months of expenses in cash that you're ready to go in a savings account, not cash under your mattress. But if you have a little extra and you're just not comfortable right now with where the market is, but you're still invested in your 401k, all that, that's kind of this middle ground of people that it was just going to sit in a savings account anyways. I might as well have it earn a little bit.
Page one of the Wall Street Journal today. In investor dilemma, stocks and bonds fall in tandem. This hardly ever happens where stocks and bonds, your 60-40 mix, nothing is protecting anything. They're both going down, and this hasn't happened since 1976. So you wonder, what am I going to do? And then they say, well, you can get an I-bond. And again, this isn't going to insulate your entire retirement portfolio, your whole 401k, but at least you can put up to $10,000 as an individual, watch me on this, John, right, into an I-bond. And right now, the multiplier is 9.6%. It'll adjust every 6 months. Make sure you keep the money in there for a year, and best if you keep it in there for 5 years to avoid any penalty at all. How easy was it to navigate when you did it on this government website?
Well, it looks like the first website that was ever created, but it worked Okay, it was easy. TreasuryDirect.gov. I made an account. I don't have any bonds or security, so I had to start from that. They email you, a notification. They make sure it's your identity. They ask specific questions. I know people are very hesitant to put in their social security number anywhere, but you got to do it on the site. But it's a .gov site, and then literally, John, to enter the password, you can't even use your keyboard. They have a digital keyboard that you have to use your mouse to click each letter or number to enter your password. I think it's for encryption reasons.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that a feature or a bug? Is that a good thing?
I
Like,
don't know. I hadn't seen it before. So,
yeah, weird.
but it showed up right away, right? I did it on Saturday and Monday morning at 7 a.m. Central. That money was out of my savings account. It was in the Treasury website, and I can kind of track it there. And I just want to note one more thing, one benefit of this. Is you don't pay state taxes on this, on your income, and you can either pay it, you can either note it on your income tax each year, even if you don't pull it out, or you can wait until you cash it out to pay the tax on the income you've gained from that. Does that make sense?
Yes. Was there a lag between when they took your money and, I think some of us who are a little Greek to this are like, okay, now I want to make sure that money is going to a real place because you gave them your check routing number, right?
Yep. The moment I saw it out of my savings, I got a notification from my bank. I went to the website, and what was once zero had my new number there.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty efficient. I mean, I guess you should have me on in 5 years when I pull it out to make sure it happened.
Well, or to see what the results will be, what your gain will be, but it's obviously going to be $430 and then some. And I guess it's possible that other things will do better in the next 5 years, and you'll wish you'd had that 10 grand back. But if every investment's a gamble, I kind of like this one right now.
Yeah, it just makes sense. I think it's for those people that have that little extra that they can play with. And I heard some people argue asking, wasn't there a deadline for the old rate ended in April 30th? It was a great rate too. It was 7.6%.
Yeah.
But now you've got an even sweeter one. So start fresh, and this will last till October.
Terry was saying, wait till May 1st, towards the end. Terry's going to be on in about 15 minutes here to talk about Social Security and should you or should you not take it early. You can already guess what her answer is going to be, but some of you aren't buying it, so we're going to press her a little on this. But she was saying in late April, you might want to wait until May. It may well adjust higher, and Lord knows it did. Well, it was a great segment you had the other night. In fact, the guy that you were talking with, what night was that? If I wanted to listen to the podcast of that.
Great question. It was Monday night, and I was talking with Kristen Myers of The Balance, and she broke it down pretty well for us.
As did you. Okay, John. Well, you were good on this one. You're still wrong about the athletes thing, but the one
Hey,
out of two.
I'm betting 500. I'll take it.
Yeah, that's not bad. If you were a baseball player, you'd be the best baseball player in Chicago. Thank you, John Hansen.
Take care.
That's your friend John.